800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
All right, here's the question. What did you all think of the patriotic theme of yesterday's Super Bowl? What did you think of all of the bands? What did you think of all of the music? What did you think of all of the patriotic vignettes, of the Declaration of Independence, of the appearance of the presidents, of the roll call of the victims of 9/11? What did you think of it? 1-800-449-8686, and then I'll tell you what I thought. Okay? Ain't fair of me to run my big fat mouth, because if I did, then everybody would basically call up and agree with me. What do you think of it? Go ahead. Take a shot. Take a chance. Go ahead and give me the your opinion before you hear what the talk show host has to say about it. Now, that's different. Speaking of being different, so long as we're so-called cutting edge around here, let's try that. Why don't you tell me what you thought? Then I'll tell you what I thought. Oh, I don't have the balls for that, do you? Come on, 1-800-449-8686. What'd you think about it? Did you like it? Did you think it was over the top? Did you think it was much needed? Or did you think it was a lot of commercial pap? Did you think that it was a fine display of American patriotism? Or did you think that it was a trumped-up commercial effort? Did you think that it was a moment to be proud of? Or did you think that we should be proud of things without having to get companies involved? Did you think that it was a spontaneous and beautiful? Or did you think it was contrived and stagey? What did you think? What'd you think about U2? What'd you think about McCartney? What'd you think about Mariah Carey? What'd you think about the Declaration of Independence bit that they did? What'd you think of all of that? 1-800-449-8686. Buddy, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What'd you think?
Well, I really, I thought it was great. I really like to see, you know, especially seeing the artists come together and support the troops. And,
yeah.
And I really like the roll call. I don't know how the family felt about that. I think they, I hope they were consulted, of course, before they put that up there.
Uh-huh.
But I really enjoyed seeing it.
Okay, man, thanks. There you go. There's Buddy. Roll call. The families should have been consulted. Otherwise, it was great. Okay. I'm just taking some notes. Let's go over to Ronnie. Ronnie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Actually, I'm pretty livid about the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I understood the idea behind it, but then you bring in an Irish band, U2. You bring in a British Paul McCartney to talk about the trials and tribulations of America. Now, what kind of sense did that make? You got Mariah Carey up there yodeling the national anthem. To me, the whole thing was heart was in the right place, their mind was somewhere else. And to top it all off, you bring in Bill Clinton to talk about American pride and American honor, and I pretty much lost interest right then. I thought, gosh, if you're going to do this, put Bruce Springsteen or Journey or anybody, at least an American entertainer, to be your premier headliner.
Okay.
Not this Bono guy who, you know, goes up and curses on national television at the Grammy Awards. How smart was that?
Okay, thanks. When did Bono, or is it Bono, or is it Boner? I think it's Boner, I'm pretty sure. I think they've always been mispronouncing that. The Edge and the other cat and Boner. No, when did he curse on national television? I don't think he did. I think the guy's got it mixed up with somebody else. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Mike?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on
Yeah, I know. Go ahead. What's your opinion of it?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was perfect. I thought everything was good. The only thing I really disagree with was the U2, I think.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, never mind. Your car phone sucks, but I got it. Dick, go ahead, Dick. Hey, Dick. You dick. Here's Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Phil.
You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much. The part that I really thought was awesome was the part where they had all the names of the victims of 9/11. That I thought was really good. I wasn't too crazy either about having the headliner performers not being American. I know that sounds kind of small, but that was the way I felt about it. And especially when they did the little tribute to Paul McCartney before he went on, I didn't really think was necessary.
Okay.
But otherwise.
Thank you very much. Let me go to one more call here. Jen, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Mr. Hendry.
Hi.
I'm sorry I'm calling from a cell phone.
No problem.
But
You know, I'm just really, really sick of all this jingoism and the commercialization of, like, this event.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's disgusting. And personally, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but your description of it makes me really angry. Like, it's just, it's artificial. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, okay, well, thanks for calling up with your phony voice, but we're still not hiring you. All right. I didn't know, but I think I'll call up Phil's show because he does all those voices, and maybe he'll think I'm really funny and impressive, and he'll call me up and say, ooh. All right, well, let me give you the my opinion, which I think should be, I ain't even going to tell you what you think whatever you want to think, but here's what I think. I don't think there was anything bad about yesterday at all. And I don't know where to begin. Let's start with the football. Let's not start with a football game. Let's start with the patriotism. Let's start with the way that it was all set up to become America's Day. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it at all. The amount of time we spend in this country caring about this country and actually singing a couple of patriotic songs every now and again and actually doing things that are... You know, that aren't about us, but sometimes maybe a little bit more about our country, is like zero. We don't spend any time thinking about the country. We don't spend any time thinking about our place in the country. We don't spend any time thinking about the future of the country. We spend absolutely no time thinking about how it all got here. Let me turn off. Laura's on. Never mind. I was trying to hit the mute button. I thought it was fantastic. And if you are telling me that when you saw the roll call for all the people who were killed at 9/11 and when you saw U2's performance, when he pulled his jacket open and there was the American flag and you saw McCartney and you saw all of the performers, Mariah Carey included, and you didn't feel emotional, as in feeling good about your country, you're a liar. You're a liar. Now, let me tell you what's probably been going on all day today on talk radio all over the country. Everybody calling up wanting to sound hip and sharp and saying, it was really commercial. And this stuff about, I didn't like you too, what are you talking about? They should have had an American band. Look, U2 is a band that represents a certain sensibility. There's a certain kind of music that they do. They're also a real feel-good band. They also happen to be four pretty decent guys. These are fathers, family men. Their music has a certain tenor and tone that fit perfectly with the day. They're people that spend a lot of time in this country. They're people who have an enormous market in this country, and they represent what America represents in a lot of ways, not just Americans, but what the World Trade Center was, a whole lot of people doing business here. You know, you're the same kind of people that get pissed off that Celine Dion sang God Bless America on the Heroes Telethon. In other words, you're just pissed all the time. There isn't one thing that happens that you guys don't find some fault with. There's not one aspect to anybody feeling good in this country that you don't want to lift your leg to. You want to know why? Because you're too embarrassed, because you're too scared to show how you really feel. You don't want to look lame. You're too scared to show how you really feel about your country. You're too frightened and scared and nervous to show that you really love the place you live in, America. Since when is that not cool? And I know, because I've been in this business 30 years, I know all over the radio dial today, oh, I thought it was good. Commercialism. Hey, I'm going to break the news very gently and slowly to you so that you don't, so you don't have diarrhea, so that you don't spontaneously vomit. Commercialism drives the country. Half of you guys wouldn't even know it was Christmas were it not for the fact that there's a commercial on TV telling you that it's Christmas. Half of us wouldn't even know that it's Easter were it not for some commercial about getting your Easter eggs at the thrifty drugstore. Half of us wouldn't know anything were it not for the fact that it's commercialized. You want to know why? Because that's what it's about, man. Advertising. Here, I've got a product. Would you like to buy it? Sure. That's how you all make your living, myself included. What are you talking about? You wouldn't make a nickel if you didn't commercialize what you do on some level. Everything that you do... Whether I don't care what profession you're in, I don't care if you're a dentist that never advertises, somewhere along the line, somebody has to commercialize what you do to get the people through the door. What was commercial about it? There was nothing commercial about yesterday other than the fact that they had commercials. There were commercials. That's what happened. That's how, you know, hi, my name is Bob. I'd like to sell you these laminated nut fasteners. Oh, okay. And here, thank you. Now, see, he just did some advertising. Or is that too commercial for you? I thought everything about yesterday was great. The football game, we already know it was great, okay? And by the way, the football game was so good. Anybody talking about the commercials today has got to be the lame ass of the century. Anybody who is sitting down today talking about, did you see the Super Bowl commercials? You're a lame ass. You don't know anything about football. You're one of those dumbasses that comes over to my house, wants to eat the chips and dip, and kind of chit-chat halfway through the middle of some impendingly bitchin' drive, some great pass, some great field goal, and you're sitting there talking about, gee, have they kicked the field goal yet? Or, you know, just go home, okay? Hey, yeah? Did you see the commercials yesterday and the Super Bowl? No, man, I was watching the game. Did you see the game? Speaking of the commercials, the only one that I remember is the Britney Spears Pepsi spot. I'm still drinking Coke, man. It's a fine commercial. My kid, like, forget about me, because I know Pepsi's for the new generation, okay? You want to talk about my kids? Guess what they drink? Coke. It was a good commercial. There's nothing in that commercial that makes me want to drink freaking Pepsi. And no kid, because like I say, I'm not the target audience. No kid I know is shifting over to Pepsi because of that commercial. But it was a cool commercial. And the rest, I don't even remember the other ones. I don't give a crap. They're over the top. They're not funny anymore. They're overproducing them. They're trying to go a little too cute, where once there was probably some sharpness and some edge and some satirical bent to a lot of these commercials, where once the frogs were really just a riot and a half, and I really love a talking frog and lizard, and it's really great. You know what? It sucks. Move on. Sell your product, will you? I don't even know what. Is it the Budweiser frogs? They're Budweiser. You know what? Your beer still ain't no good. Unless, of course, Budweiser sponsors this broadcast, in which case, I drink it all the time. I drink it probably more than I should. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry for Budweiser. You know, I drink Budweiser probably more than I should. And why is that? Well, because I've got a problem. Anyway, the game was phenomenal. And getting to the game, I'm going to say this. Oh, did we all pick St. Louis? Well, yeah. Except for Craig. He picked New England 21, St. Louis 19. Who cares what we picked? The whole reason why you pick football teams and you pick football games and you lay down spreads and you lay down odds is to make it more exciting. That's the only reason. Joe Dickhead, who I think is going to blow his brains out sometime this hour because he predicted 33-0 St. Louis over New England, the only reason why he picked that is to make the game more interesting. The only reason why people were dumping garbage all over New England was to hope that the very thing that happened would happen, that they would get so pissed off and so humiliated that they would have absolutely nothing to lose, hit that field and sell out, and that's exactly what they did in that game. I never saw hitting like that. I haven't seen hitting like that in years. They were sticking St. Louis like they'd never been stuck before. They were rattling their receivers. They were hurting Kurt Warner. They were hanging all over Marshall Faulk, legally and illegally. They were hurting people. They were sticking people. It was a beautiful thing to watch. And the whole reason why they did it is because they had absolutely nothing to lose. Man, when you got nothing to lose, you can just let it all hang out. Everybody thinks you're going to lose anyway. Might as well go out there and hurt some people while you're doing it. That's exactly what New England said they were going to do. You know what? We're going to lose this football game, so we're going to go out and we're going to hurt a few people while we're doing it. And guess what happened? They scared the crap out of the Rams. That's what happened. They scared them to death. I never saw their offense so out of kilter, so out of joint. Warner didn't know who he was throwing it to. Half the time he was throwing the ball while he was landing on his ass. Guy got picked twice. And then on that scramble going around right end, when he could have just run the ball in, he was so frightened of being hit that he fumbled the ball, got picked up and run the other way for a possible TV, but it turned out that New England guy, McGinnis, was holding Marshall Faulk. Otherwise, it could have been 7 if Kurt Warner wasn't so scared to death. I mean scared to living death that he was going to get hurt, because he ran around right end. He was looking for a receiver, and when there wasn't anyone to throw the ball to, he had a pretty much open lane to the end zone. And he's on his way to the end zone around right end, and suddenly here comes a New England linebacker, and Warner just about craps a green brick. He's afraid that he's going to get his head taken off, and he drops, literally dropped the ball. I haven't seen anything like that from a Ram quarterback since the great days of Roman Gabriel, who would eat it rather than, you know, get hurt throwing the football. Roman Gabriel, you know, for all of it, you probably don't know who I'm talking about, but he had a very strong arm and was a pretty decent quarterback and actually was MVP one season. But yeah, a real chicken, in the pocket. He'd go up as the minute he saw a pass rush, man. He would just pull the ball down and take the sack. And Warner crying about his jammed thumb. Look, I'm sure he's a very classy guy, and the team, the Rams are very classy. But the point is, do we have to break?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a break. I'm way late. No, break our first break of the half hour.
Yeah,
we still got a break. All right. Well, you can say they're a very classy football team, but they got the crap scared out of them by New England. All right, 1-800-44. I never had so much. It was fantastic. Greatest Super Bowl I've ever seen. And it was a beautiful day, and U2's performance was outstanding. And McCartney, what do you want from him? He's 60. So his song sucks. So what? The feeling was good. People were feeling good. And the rest of you guys that think it was too commercial, or you didn't like an Irish band or an American band, you know what? You're going to cry and complain no matter what. So I tell you what, go load up on some more tampons. Cry me a freaking river. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
The thing about people talking about the commercials after the Super Bowl, that's really a manufactured topic. It's made up by those of us in this business who need something to talk about. And it's also encouraged by the commercial makers themselves, the product manufacturers themselves. They want us to talk about their commercials. And so those of us in the media, we pick up the party line and we start talking about it on the air. And next thing you know, we have this impression that there's a buzz out there about Super Bowl commercials. Possibly, maybe in the past, not this year. Ain't no buzz about commercials this year. The buzz this year is about the ball game, which is what it's supposed to be about. There was a football game played yesterday. Yeah, I know your girlfriend made the football shaped cake, and they all dressed up in the shirts, and everybody came over with their faces painted, and during the regular season you never see any of these people because they couldn't be bothered, but it's a Super Bowl party, so they sit there eating chips and staring at the TV and going, did something good just happen? What happened? What happened? Well, he scored a touchdown. Oh, is that good? I understand that. But the fact is, nobody's talking about the TV commercials, so all you people at Pepsi and any other product, just make a good product and maybe we'll buy it. How about that? How about that for a concept? What else did they have, man? They had the, I remember Britney's commercial. I remember the green monkey. Was there a monkey? There was a green monkey. I'll tell you, the only commercial I remember yesterday was the Don Julio Blanco flowing at my house. The big bottle of Don Julio Blanco, baby. And everybody, here's what we had at our house yesterday. We had Heineken beer, Don Julio Blanco, Wildfire Grills, wonderful tri-tip, and chicken, and salsa, and coleslaw, and Caesar salad. And we had Coca-Cola, diet and regular. And we had 7-Up, diet and regular. And we had some cherry-flavored drinks. I forget what those were. And that's the products that we consumed at our house yesterday, okay? Britney Spears was nowhere to be found except on the commercial. It's Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On Friday's show, Vernon Dozier, high school football coach, was on our program to talk about how un-American hockey is.
Phil Hendry, flashback.
Mr. Dozier, everybody has a right. Canadian, American, even if they were in Mexico, first off, you don't call her an it. Got it? Second off, we also patrol
You're Canadian.
Do you realize that?
Are you Canadian?
No, I'm from the USA, dear. I'm from Pennsylvania, and you need sedation, dear.
You do a lot of skating up there, don't you?
Honey, I don't skate.
All right.
Because I don't know how. I don't ice skate either. I like football, believe it or not, but you're wrong.
How can you
figure out? You are totally wrong.
How do you know a Super Bowl?
Everybody
you're in
has a right.
That's the home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the greatest single football franchise.
I don't care about the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I'm talking about human rights. Anybody gets to see whatever they want.
Oh, they're up in Canada. They're loving moose.
Honey,
they're beaver loving up there.
What you think they think up there.
Look, dear,
you're
listen.
Wrong. You need sedation.
Every
and you also need
how
a doctor
do figure,
to check you out.
How do you figure I need sedation?
Because you are freaking out. I heard you the whole way home from work.
What was I doing?
You were freaking out all about Canada and looking for cheese. Be real, please.
Listen to me. No,
I can hear you breathing hard already.
All right, I'm just listen.
You
need
sedation.
Just listen to me for a minute, okay?
Oh, go for it.
These Canadians.
Just so you know, I used to live by New York, so I know about the area, okay? I've gone there.
That's great.
I have people that were in that building.
I'm glad you lived in Buffalo. That's great.
No, I didn't say Buffalo. I said New York.
That's in New York, hello.
The city, dear. The city.
All right.
You
well,
got it?
Now you're making
and
sense.
And I understand about your little pilgrimage. Everybody should do that. But you're wrong. Everybody has a right.
Joanne.
You stop kids from skating, you're wrong. I would pull my kid off your football team. I have sons. I would not let you coach them. You just admitted you do not own that land.
You
it's
your
parents'
your
right to stop the children from skating, not yours.
150 and 22, that's my career record.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you said as soon as 9/11 happened, what about the Super Bowl? God, man, what about the lives?
Wait a second.
Are
you
really that naive?
You know as well as I do that when those planes flew into the building,
the first thing
on your mind was the Steelers season.
Honey, I don't like the Steelers. Okay?
You don't like the
I'm on the east of Pennsylvania, not that.
You
and
what?
In fact, I like the Giants.
I
grew up rooting for them.
Who?
Just like I like the Yankees. And are you going to tell me that we should also not have the Olympics? Because you don't think that we should have other countries in this one right now? Can you be real here, please?
You know,
I mean, you are very wrong.
I think that a lot has happened since you were on the Brady Bunch. You all of a sudden
have
lost.
I was not on the Brady Bunch. I am not Cindy. Trust me, nobody that knows me would say I am anything like her.
Wait a minute. My understanding, Mr. Henry,
I said that she sounded a little bit like Cindy on the Brady Bunch.
You're not Susan Olsen.
Hell no. My name is Joanne, dear. Okay.
Well, you sound
I
like...
have two young sons who play sports, and if I had
Joanne
a coach
what?
Like
Joanne
you,
Drew?
I would pull them off it.
Are you Joanne Worley?
No, dear. I'm not that old either, dear.
Not the one from Laugh-In. What is the story, man?
I didn't think you were that old. Are you going senile? Is that why you're going through all of this?
No, ma'am. I'm curious because I've done some animation. Have you ever done the voice of Sylvester the Cat or anything like that?
Well, you get it off her voice.
You're not a real football fan unless the first thought through your head after the planes hit the World Trade Center was, oh, my sweet Jesus, what about the Super Bowl? And
no, it was not.
Well, that's
my first thought was, oh, my God, I wonder if my friends are alive. Okay? And
what's
then I saw that
anything?
And I went into my job and I made them turn on every damn TV
wait,
and radio.
Wait, Joanne, you live in Pennsylvania and you thought your friends were dead in New York. Wow.
Yes, because I'm from that area.
Wow.
The lady said she used to live
in
that area,
okay? I moved here for my children. Okay? I moved to Pennsylvania for my children. But I am originally from that area. And I have family over there. Okay?
And you know,
when
you
don't
know
tell me that,
how many Canadians do you know?
How
many Canadians do you know?
Huh?
How many Canadians do you know?
Actually, I know about six.
Yeah, see, I knew it. God.
How many do you know, dear?
I don't know any.
Oh, you know what?
And I see
how
one
many
skating.
New Yorkers do you
and
know,
if I
dear?
See anybody on ice skates around
how many New
me?
Yorkers do you know that work in New York?
How many New Yorkers do you know
that work in New York?
I used to enjoy the Jackie Gleason show. I don't
know
any
that has nothing to do with it.
Flashback.
What was the thing in there? What did he say? No, I know, but what was that one line I was laughing at? The Susan Olsen thing. Did anybody get that? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. That's a flashback from our Friday show. By the way, P.F. Chang's has opened up across the street from our studios here in Sherman Oaks. Hey. And I'd like to get together with my staff Friday night. I'd like to have Chris and Janice and Craig. I'm going to get Maria to come on over with the suite and Ann. And if anybody from P.F. Chang's is listening, I know you don't take reservations, but would you just maybe this one time keep a table open for us? We'd really appreciate it. 1-800-449-8686. I love your restaurant, even though my daughter doesn't. All right. Well, she's 10. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Is that me?
Yeah. If your name is Jim.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear you. There was a bzzz, and so I didn't get it. Okay, I just wanted to make three comments real quick. I am a patriot, and I heard Mariah Carey on the radio yesterday because I listened to the game on the radio. And I thought she did an excellent job, and I knew that she really needed the exposure because she's had such a rotten exposure lately, especially with her last CD, that, you know, she needed that exposure to make more money. Secondly, I think patriotism has been bought out by the same corporations that did the commercials. And thirdly,
When was patriotism not
probably
commercially
about 100 years ago? Probably about 100.
Well, you're
years
saying
ago.
Probably because you really don't know.
Well, I
you're just hoping
good.
It was like that. You're wishing that it was
good.
Like that.
Now, thirdly,
okay, so you don't really know when patriotism
so
wasn't
thirdly,
commercial.
Thirdly, I like to say
in
that,
fact, the centennial in 1876
so thirdly,
was
like
an enormous commercial enterprise
that we're
going to
get from 9/11.
All right, you know what? You want to have a conversation, we'll have a conversation, okay? If you want to just call up the show and repeat cliche after cliche after cliche, and then when I ask you a pointed question like, well, when was patriotism not commercial? And you just say, oh, probably about 100 years ago. Well, why is that? Because your grandpappy sat you on his knee and said that it was so? Or do you know anything historically about this country? Do you realize that in 1876 we had a centennial in Philadelphia that was nothing but commercialism? Commercialism has been a part of selling this country since it was founded. There is no such thing as non-commercial patriotism. There is no such thing. That's number one. And number two, commercial patriotism is good. There's nothing wrong with it. I love these people who say, and I hate the way they use the flag in their advertisement for their carpeting. Excuse me. The flag is America. These are business people doing business in America. And I have every right to that flag. I have every right to it. I'm a citizen. I do business here. I'll fly that flag from my business, from my home, whenever I feel like it. Don't you tell me when I can fly it. And if I want to fly it on an advertisement for my business, well, guess what? I will. Now, if you say to me, well, you're just using that to get me to shop in your store. Oh, yeah, okay. You a patriot, too? You like the idea of a flag? You think red, white, and blue is cool? You like the 4th of July? You may like the mattresses that I sell. All right, here is Nick on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Mine's not as much a comment, but more of a question for you about all these people talking about how they wish they had an American band, blah, 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 blah. How far in advance are these arrangements usually made?
I don't know. I mean, don't they plan Super Bowls year to year? You know, in other words, next year's Super Bowl is already being planned, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
These people are talking as if these bands were chosen in the wake of what happened on September 11th, and these guys were probably scheduled to do this way before this ever happened.
Yeah, good point.
And another thing, I mean, as far as entertaining in the wake of terrorism, I mean, you two, come on. I mean, who besides these guys have more of a right to get up there and voice their opinions through whatever means, music or whatever?
What do you mean?
You
who
know?
Has more of a right? You mean?
Well,
what do you mean?
As far as from the standpoint of living with daily terrorism.
Why? Because they're from Ireland?
Yeah.
Well, they're from Ireland, not Northern Ireland, but I get the idea.
But they've always stood for that. I mean, we all know that.
They're a good band. You know? They're a political band. They're a band with a positive positive point of view. They're, like I say, they're good men. They're fathers. They're husbands. They've been around. They seem to be genuine people. I don't know. You know, I probably seem to be a genuine guy. I'm a real piece of crap. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, I'm okay. And so what are we going to do? We're going to walk up and say, you know what? You guys are Irish, and we want you to bug off. We want to only have American groups. You know, that's not what this country's about, man. I mean, anybody to say that, they don't know what the country is about. The country's about anybody that stands for us, they stand for us, man. They're with us, okay? You don't necessarily have to be an American citizen, but if you respect the country, you love our flag, you love our people, you love the country, you dig what we're about, and you want to, and you got our back, yeah, get up on stage and sing. They're not citizens, but they're friends. They're friends. And at a time, internationally, quite frankly, especially in Great Britain, where patriotism's viewed with such a cynical eye. I mean, the Brits, they're not down with any of it. They think it's just silly. They think the Yanks look really funny. And Mick Jagger, with his little quote about patriotism, pretty much was proven to be a load of bollocks after World War I. But the Americans like to do it. So they sort of look at us, and they maybe they envy us. I don't know. But fact is, they're friends. They saw what we went through. Their hearts went out to us. They're a popular band. They wanted to do something, and they did it. And that guy that said, how about Journey? No. How about U2? Journey? We've canceled U2 because we want an American band. And now, Kansas. You know what? That's what, oh, boy. Talk about terrorism. Yeah, you're right. Let's cancel U2 and let's get in a good American band like Huey Lewis in the News. Jesus, come on. What was the other band he mentioned? Bruce Springsteen. Well, that's if that isn't a living cliche, hey, you know what? That ain't a bad idea. Anybody ask him? Maybe he said no. I'm not about that. So there. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Really sick of jingoism, huh? Well, it's too bad. Looks like we're going to just shove it right up into your face a little bit more. Really tired of all the flag waving, are you? Is that it? You want to get back to life as you know it, where you just sit on your dead ass doing nothing, and we're supposed to just worship the ground your dead ass walks on? Like you're taking up space, and we're supposed to believe that you're doing something any more valuable than anybody waving a flag? I'll wave the freaking flag as much as I want to, or as little as I want to. And by the way, I'm a Democrat, okay? And speaking of that, so what if Bill Clinton was on there? You guys that keep wanting to politicize every little solitary itsy-bitsy thing, you are as transparent as they come. Quit trying to hide your feelings and your emotions behind a lot of faux anger and this sort of made-up emotionalism about how commercial things are and you're tired of the jingoism. They fly an airplane up your ass one of these days with a couple of box cutters in it. Maybe you'll feel different. Anyway, St. Louis Ram fans, by the way, now know what us L.A. Ram fans have gone through for so many years. You got it, losing the big game. Just wanted to let you know that. You know, if you the St. Louis Ram, although they won a Super Bowl, so they got one over any of us who rooted for the team when they were in Los Angeles. But if you really want to know how it felt to be a Los Angeles Ram fan, well, how do you feel today? There you go. Now you know. I can't tell you the NFC title games we lost, the playoff games we lost. I can't tell you the heartache and the heartbreak that football team put us through in this town, the gut-wrenching knife in the back emotion that they put us through. And then when they had milked the city dry and they couldn't squeeze another nickel out of it, they uprooted and they went to St. Louis, where the dumbasses there gave them all their money. They gave them a key to the city. They gave them a football stadium. They gave them everything. Because in St. Louis, football is king, not. Yeah, they really a big-time football town. How do you like those St. Louis Cardinals, by the way? Oh, you mean they're in Arizona? What happened? You watch, you wait. When they start losing a few ball games, you won't be able to draw flies to that joint, and that's a promise. Same thing with Arizona. You know, the people in Phoenix have finally got a nose full of what the Arizona Cardinals are all about. Now, all of a sudden, they're not coming to the ball games like they used to, and they want a new stadium in Phoenix. Or guess what? He's going to move. Where do you think he's going to move to? L.A. Well, you think he's going to get a better deal here? That Bidwell family, just exactly what tree they fall out of? Well, they're really good. But with all due respect to the Rams, and Mike March was very classy when he said the following. He said, if we didn't turn the ball over so much, we might have been in the game. But, you know, that denigrates the great effort of the Patriots. They're the ones that forced those turnovers in the first place, which they did. There would have been any turnovers had New England not been sticking those guys like they were rag dolls. But for years, 50 years, we sat through it here in Los Angeles. We watched it. We went out to the ball games. We sold out those ball games. They used to get 100,000 at the Coliseum. I was at the Anaheim when they were playing there, man. We'd sell out just about every big game. Rams gave you very, very few reasons to ever want to go to one of their games. They gave you very few reasons. Back in the day in the 80s when they had Eric Dickerson, it was an interesting thing, but they had no quarterback. They had no offense, really. But you'd go out to the game and hope and pray that maybe something would happen. Then you watch them blow it in the first round against the Giants. And then they lose it in the NFC title game against the Bears. And then they lose a first rounder to the Vikings. And then they lose maybe a second rounder to somebody else. And it's the same old thing. You know, and Robinson did what he could, and they had a guy by the name of John Shaw, who everybody thinks is the second coming. He's in St. Louis. He's still with the team, and he's put together quite a ball club down there. Well, yeah, pretty easy to put together a ball club when they're backing up dump trucks full of money to your front door so you can just pay anybody you want as much money as they want. When they were out here, these guys were squeezing two nickels together. And that guy Shaw was singularly the most hated man in L.A. Ram history. And he was cheap, and the team looked like it on the field. You want to know why? Because nobody was giving him money from the city. Nobody was giving him any money from the county. You know, people in Los Angeles, they weren't handing their tax dollars over to these ball clubs anymore. So they uprooted and they left. And they went to towns that will bend over and lather up for them. St. Louis wants to bend over and get out the Vaseline. That's their business. Guess what happened? And there'll be many more years of this, St. Louis. Many, many more years. They'll get close, and they'll break your hearts. That's the Rams. That's the organization. That's what they do. That's why they are where they are. That's their legacy. Not Super Bowls. Heartbreaking. Well, I know they won the one, okay. They almost didn't. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.